Welcome, everybody, to the Chuck and Julie Show with Chuck Bonneville and Julie Hayden, the truth straight up. And we've even got a brand new great sponsor,
That's
Julie.
That's right. We're a sponsor today by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. I don't know about you guys, but there are certain websites I go to every day. I mean, I could probably do it in my sleep. I go boom, 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 right? And one of the ones I check every day is Colorado Citizen Press. What you're going to get there is the Colorado conservative point of view of stuff going on in the legislature. They kind of keep track across the board of things going on in Colorado. So you don't have to spend your time going from this site to that site. And I got to tell you, some of the other big sites like Colorado Politics, Firewall, right? Have to pay.
They're also very left. I mean, exactly. It's almost like the Denver Post. I go to Colorado Press first thing for Colorado stuff. I usually go national, and then I come to Colorado. First run is the Colorado Press.
It's Colorado Citizen Press.
Citizen Press. And then I go out to Complete Colorado, and then finally.
So Colorado if you Politics. Haven't checked it out already, do so. ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
Great site.
Yep. Want to let people know you can call in 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Another packed show today. We're going to, in a moment, have Ryan Winger on from Magellan Strategies. I believe some of the numbers. Magellan is a polling and consulting organization.
Top, the premier one in Colorado.
In Colorado. Conservative leaning. It's kind of establishment conservative. But on the other hand, I think some of the numbers of the ballots coming in are encouraging for Republicans. And also, when we'll get into this, sort of proof positive of why the all-male ballot system is not really a good idea, which the Democrats are just now figuring out. Then also at 3:30, the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk with a Second Amendment attorney, Tim Priebe. You might have heard him on Peter Boyle's show. Over the weekend, a big story broke about an inmate who had filed an emergency risk, extreme risk protection, or a red flag law on Sheriff Steve Reams, right?
And we won't get into that because we've got Ryan right now on line two. Ryan, great to have you back.
Yeah, happy to join you guys. How you doing?
We're doing great.
We're doing
great.
I feel like I kind of caught you midstream of a conversation.
No worries.
Easy
to do to catch us midstream. So just push the button. Let Chuck finish.
We got two things. Your results in from all the returned ballots and we've gone to. But I first want to go to your poll, and there's another poll by a Democratic outfit that I'd never really heard before. I think it's called Data for Progress.
Yep.
And the bottom line result is pretty similar, but how you guys get to it is a little bit different. So why don't you talk about your poll and how it compares to Progress for Colorado, or Data for Progress.
Yeah, sure. So we our poll that we conducted at the beginning of last week had Bernie Sanders with a 12-point lead. He had 27% of the vote, and in second place was actually Elizabeth Warren, was at 15. Their poll had a very similar margin for Bernie. They had him up at 30%. A big part of the difference, I think, is that they were kind of forcing leaners. They weren't allowing for undecided.
Yeah, it looks like that, yeah.
Whereas our survey had 13% undecided, which, you know, obviously given the events of this past weekend, those undecided voters are going to shift one way or another.
Well, but interestingly, you both had Buttigieg double digits. You had him 11, and Data for Progress had him at 14. He's dropped out. Klobuchar has dropped out, and she was 6-6, and she gave an endorsement to
Biden.
But how do you think that's all going to factor in? I imagine there's not a lot of ballots
still
left
out there
that are going to come in necessarily in the next
day. Well, that's kind of the million-dollar question is how many Democrats actually were, you know, sitting on their ballot. And I would imagine that there are a significant number who are doing so. And here's why I say that. Thinking back to the 2018 primary, which, you know, was a couple years ago, and the Democrats had a very contested, you know, governor's primary. At that point, there were 460,000 Democrats who turned in their ballot. And as of right now, when I looked this afternoon, and I haven't run the full report yet, I just checked an update, there's only 383,000. And I have a hard time believing that there would be more Democrats voting in that governor's primary than there would be in the presidential primary.
Well, I have a theory on that. In both ones, particularly Polis, ballot harvested enormously. And the difference between this election and 2018, I think, is a large reflection of no ballot harvesting. They're not bothered to. But even in the primary, Polis' operation, because they kind of wanted to get used to it, did a lot of ballot harvesting. And I think you're seeing a result in part of what happens when you don't have ballot harvesting. And certainly come November, you're going to have ballot harvesting.
Sure. Yeah. No. That could be accounting for some of the differences, that none of these campaigns are really pouring the resources that the Governor Polis has put into that race. I mean, that could be some of it, but I do think that, and for good reason, as you see what happened with, you know, Buttigieg and Klobuchar dropping out, there are people who are sitting on their ballots to see, okay, I don't want to throw away my vote for Buttigieg, and then he'll drop out. And so, the interesting thing, like you said, is we did have him double digits in our poll.
Yeah.
So the question is, how much of that has already come in? You know, he still probably is at 5 or 6% maybe of when it's all
done. Sure there is. As a practical matter, most people did not expect people to drop out until after.
That's a good point.
Super Tuesday. I thought, well, you know, why wait Saturday? And I imagine the interesting discussion of why you think both of them decided to drop out now. Was it some famous pro quid pro or discussions or whatever else? But Amy Klobuchar dropping out before her state primary tomorrow was a little surprising to me.
Well, I would imagine what happened is, because Vice President Biden's win on Saturday was by such an impressive margin in South Carolina that, you know, his campaign could really make the argument that, look, every little bit's going to help if we really want to try to stop Bernie Sanders. Right. You need to drop out now so that I can pick up even a few votes on Super Tuesday that I otherwise wouldn't have had.
Let me ask you this, Ryan. One of the things I saw going to the overall numbers, I kind of take as encouraging news for Republicans. And can you talk a little bit and then give your opinion on the breakdown between the Republican ballots returned, Democrat ballots unaffiliated? I mean, there are a lot of Republicans who returned their ballots in a primary that really didn't have to, right? It didn't make any difference. I see that as just a sign of, I mean, it's the reason we voted, right? We just wanted to make sure, hey, our vote, our support for Trump got counted. What do you, break that down for us and tell us how you interpret all that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we're thinking along the same lines. I'm really surprised that at this point, you know, on Monday, the day before Super Tuesday, that more Republicans in Colorado have voted than Democrats. You know, that's it is surprising, because really what it is a really huge sign of strength for President Trump among Republican voters, that he's got that many who are willing to return their ballot in, like you said, what's essentially a meaningless race. It, you know, it wasn't even contested. And,
right.
It really is just a, hey, I want to voice my support for the president. Now, when you look at just the total number of ballots cast in the Democratic primary and the Republican primary, meaning that you're factoring in the unaffiliated voters, there actually have been more votes cast in the Democratic primary, because those unaffiliated voters are choosing to vote in the Democratic primary by basically a 2-to-1 margin. And that to me makes sense. I mean, there's, like we're just saying, there's no action on the Republican side. So if you're unaffiliated, whether you actually lean left or whether you're
trying to play
spoiler, you're going to vote in that primary.
Yes. And let me, Brian, get you to clarify that for folks who may not be aware of that. So in Colorado, the way it worked is when you voted, you could declare. And if you said I'm a Republican or a Democrat, you got a Republican or a Democrat ballot. If you are unaffiliated and didn't indicate which one you wanted, you got both. But you guys but the Secretary of State, not you guys, they can tell whether a ballot being returned is a Democrat or a primary or a Republican ballot.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And so really the way it stands right now is that of all the ballots that have been returned, half of them are Democratic ballots.
Okay.
44% are Republican ballots. And then there's another 6% that were unaffiliated voters, and they haven't, just because of how the ballots were coded or however, we'll eventually know what they were. But right now we don't know whether they voted in the Republican or the Democratic primary.
And you're saying that don't get discouraged too much, Republicans, in that, like you said, that the Democrat ballot majority, because I would think this too, has a lot more to do with the contested primary than it does anything else right now. Although, granted, I think you guys have had polls that indicate Colorado unaffiliated voters may lean Democrat more.
Sure. Yeah, they do lean Democrat more. That's for sure. But I do think it's mostly, you can chalk it up to, hey, this is an actually contested race. I mean, I think if there was a contested Republican primary and a contested Democratic primary, I think it would be more all things equal.
Yeah. Should we ask Chuck's question? Chuck, is,
where have all
the young men gone?
Gone off the ballot everywhere. I mean, you have in the Republican side, it's slightly more males and females, although it's almost exactly the same. Same with the independents, but on the same. On the Democratic side, it is a 20-point gap. There are 20, it's 60-40, and it has been.
So is it men, female?
Male, female. And so what happened to all those males? I mean, are they registered but not voting? Are they not registered? But half the state, females tend to be a little bit more because they have a longer...
They're more responsible.
They're more longevity.
Oh, sure. I mean, a lot of it just is a reflection of Democratic registration. I mean, the actual makeup of the Democratic Party, just looking at registration, is heavily female. And so on some level, you wouldn't expect really the vote to come in any different. That's just kind of baked into their party at this point.
Well, maybe baked into their party, but there's 20% of young males. And I've come to the conclusion, you know, because we spend some time around those males that are 18 to 34. They've been turned off by the Democratic Party. They don't, I mean, you almost have to be sadomasochistic to be a straight white or black male and want to be in the Democratic Party. They just don't want to be Democrats. And Republicans have zero outreach programs, zero outreach.
Sure. So what happens is a lot of them just default to being unaffiliated.
What is the registration male, female, and unaffiliated?
What's that?
What is the breakdown male, female of actual registered but unaffiliated people?
I don't know that off the top of my head.
I'd love you to get that statistic, because then one of two things are happening. They're either falling in the unregistered, unaffiliated, and of course we're not picking up their ballots because we don't actually go out and pick up ballots. We're too cool. Or they're not even getting registered. I mean, bothered to be registered. And I think, you know, the Republican, I'm a broken, broken
You've never heard this before.
This.
None of us have heard that. But you're right, though.
If the Republicans ever got some money in, you know, and actually had some bright people who could use the money, they'd be out there trying to find all these males who are not voting in these elections and either getting them registered or getting them voting. I mean, it's a huge number. You can go to softball games, basketball leagues.
There are young
clubs.
Men out there.
Yeah, they're out there. They're out there. They're not missing in action. and although, you know, the Republican Party is so sleepy, sometimes it gets frustrating, but they're out there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's one of those things that's kind of difficult to disprove your theory there, because, you know,
best kind of theory to have.
Right. They didn't try hard enough to turn them out if they don't turn out. And I don't know. I mean, I think that obviously whether they're male or female, what we do know is that younger people are the younger unaffiliates are the ones that are most likely to lean left. The older unaffiliated voters are, the more likely
Harvey
they are
Weinstein
to at least give a hard look at both parties.
Harvey Weinstein has been the biggest recruiter for Republican for males. I mean, it used to be a long time. I knew more guys go, well, you know, that's where all the females are. One, two, you can get, you
oh,
know.
Oh, you talk about political campaigns.
Well, anything. I just go, well, you know, if I'm a Democrat, I get away, from John Kennedy to Clinton, you get away with everything if you're a Democrat. And now it's kind of, wait a minute, you don't get away with everything. And the females aren't very nice these days. You don't go, oh, you're so great, you're a male, let's have you lead.
Did you guys have
it's Elizabeth Warren on your back, just like poor Bloomberg, you know? She's eviscerating him on the stage.
Did you guys go there, Ryan, in your poll?
What's that?
Oh, no, that was joking. I'm like, you probably didn't ask that kind of Harvey Weinstein question.
No, we didn't have a Harvey Weinstein question. No,
let me ask you, though. Sort of in general, I mean, so we've been asking you the questions. What kinds of stuff can you talk about that stand out from your point of view?
Yeah, you got a great graph here. And people can get it by going to Magellan Strategy. It's available to everybody, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, kind of like I said off the top, what's really surprising to me is that more Democrats haven't voted. And when you think about the timing of it all, if they were waiting till this past weekend to vote, we don't know that they voted yet. You know, I don't know how fast some of these counties are updating I don't know what the lag time is between when someone drops off their ballot in a box and when I know that they voted. It could be 4 or 5 hours. I don't know. I would expect that in a lot of these bigger counties, these drop-off boxes are going to be pretty overwhelmed. these today and tomorrow. And I just think that there's a lot of people who have just gotten into a habit of dropping off their ballot rather than sticking it in the mail. And that's for any number of reasons. It could be because they want to wait, but there's also a story, a couple weeks ago from the Mesa County clerk where they went out to their drop box to check it for primary ballots, and they found some ballots from last year's general election in the box. And so
that's Democrats. That's Democrats.
Not going to count those anyway.
It kind of makes you wonder that, I think people are just somewhat skeptical of, hey, if I stick this in the mail, is it really going to get where it's supposed to be?
No, I don't blame them.
We're talking with Ryan Winger from Magellan Strategies, and you can get all this information. You guys update it all the time at MagellanStrategies.com. What do you think is going to happen, or did you guys go there, in terms of, so let's say I was a Buttigieg, who had pretty significant, or at least semi-significant numbers. Do you have any sense what those guys, the Klobuchar, Bennett, I mean, all the other people?
What if the Secretary of State, does it add up all those ballots for people who are still validly on the ballot and then divide up, you had 15 or 10 or 30? And then everything else is not counted, or do they count
in terms of counting delegates?
Counting delegates, I mean, not
Do you know?
Not well, counting whether you got 15%. Do you have 15% of just the people who are validly on the ballot, or is it 15% of the whole ballot?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's got to be the whole ballot. Obviously, the Secretary of State is just reporting, countywide and statewide totals, and then it's up to the Colorado Democratic Party to actually, do the math and apportion the delegates. And and from what I've seen, we'll know who won the quote-unquote popular vote here statewide probably tonight, but we're not going to know the final delegate counts for
tomorrow night.
I understand it.
Right. What about
But the question is the whole, Bernie Sanders, let's say there are 100,000 total voters, 10,000 of which are Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, just 10% total.
Just for simplicity's sake, right.
Yeah,
so simplicity's sake. So if you don't count Buttigieg and Klobuchar in the total, then he has more than 30%. If you include Buttigieg and Klobuchar, he has 30%. And while it won't matter for that, it could matter for Biden, who's at 14%, and one could make it, 15 or 16.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, that's obviously how it's going to get handled is a vote for Buttigieg is a vote for Buttigieg, and it's going to get counted.
Are they going to say you got because that's going to make a huge difference, and I'm not sure
anybody knows really right now.
I bet you can call the Democratic Party and say Ted Trimpa is calculating what'll do best for Bloomberg. I mean, I don't think it, and I think different states may do it differently.
Sure. I mean, you'd have to look at probably literally the Colorado Democratic Party's bylaws or rules.
That baby's in invisible ink. I mean,
Did you get any sense? Just a couple more questions for you, Ryan.
Sure.
Did you get any sense in terms of when you were talking to people? I mean, did they talk about second choice? So let's say I was a Buttigieg voter, hadn't turned my ballot in. Do you get a sense as to whether they're just going to stay home? Are they going to go with Biden? Any sense of where those voters may go?
Yeah, no, we didn't ask that specifically in our survey. I've seen other surveys that, at least for Buttigieg, kind of suggested it's kind of a wash. An equal number of them go to Biden and Sanders and Warren. And Buttigieg is kind of a different kind of candidate like that because he was drawing a little bit from the left lane, a little bit from the moderate lane, depending on what you thought of him. And so his dropping out might not really change it all that much if his people just kind of wash out proportionally to the rest of the candidates. Klobuchar obviously dropping out and then endorsing Biden. Assume that anyone who this morning had every intention of voting for Klobuchar is now going to cast their vote for Biden.
Okay. All right, well, give us your official estimate. How many delegates will Bernie Sanders be ahead of the next highest one, which I assume will be Biden, but the next highest, maybe it's Bloomberg. How many delegates is he going to be ahead of the next highest Democrat after Tuesday? Is it going to be
after Tuesday?
Yeah.
It's a good question. I mean, right now, because Biden had such a large win in South Carolina. Right, you know, he's only six delegates behind Bernie right now.
Yeah.
Bernie's going to do obviously pretty well in California. There's a lot of early voting in California. That's the biggest state.
Good point.
And,
yeah.
And Biden might not even be able to capitalize on whatever bump he might get from South Carolina because so many people have already voted in California.
Right. Right.
I would say that Bernie will have a lead after tomorrow, but it's by no means going to be insurmountable or, you know, he's not going to be a runaway train towards the nomination.
Right, give us a number. We want a number. How many is going to be ahead?
What's that?
How many?
Do you have a number of delegates?
Or you I don't even know. I mean, I haven't crunched the numbers on how many are up for grabs tomorrow. Bernie may be up by 100 delegates. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be closer to 250. But if it goes all, you know, if particularly Texas, which is a little hard to tell, it could be as many as 400. I mean, I think it's been 200 and 400. I think it's going to be closer to the 200 number.
Let me ask you this just final question for you, Ryan. In terms of some of the races that you guys, I mean, to us as just little talk show hosts, this has just been enormously interesting, if nothing else. I would use the word fun. Mm-hmm. What about in your experience covering this? Where does this kind of rank in terms of most fun or most interesting polling-wise?
Sure, yeah. No, it's obviously fascinating with all the moving pieces, especially when you get people, you know, dropping out. I think it's a lot more complex than people realize. You know, it's kind of the conventional wisdom is sort of developing into, oh, you know, if it gets to a two-man race between Bernie and Biden, then that favors Biden. And I would kind of push back on that a little bit. I mean, people forget that back in 2016, when it was a two-person race between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, who, even though she ended up losing the general to President Trump, obviously, she's a better candidate than Joe Biden. And Bernie was beating her in some of these states. And so this idea that, oh, you know, once it's down to two, that all of Pete's people are going to go to Biden and all of Klobuchar's people and Warren's still there, what's she going to do? I just think it doesn't shake out quite that clean where Joe becomes the front runner just simply by virtue of everyone else dropping out.
Yeah.
All right. I think you agree. Hey, well, Ryan, listen, thank you for your time. You guys are great as always. Appreciate it.
No problem. Always happy to be
here. Ryan, take care.
Hey,
yep, take care.
Thank you. And encourage everybody, you can get it all at MagellanStrategies.com. They kind of update it all the time.
They're great.
Let me ask you this, Chuck. So the Colorado Democrat lawmakers who were the ones pushing for the all-male ballot, keep in mind, Colorado is one of only three states that has all mail-in ballots, right? This is exactly why this is such a bad idea, right? Because you have people dropping out. Like you said, you would have thought they'd drop out after the vote. Well, they're dropping out before the vote. So what do you do? And they've got a ton of people. The Secretary of State was putting out tweets today saying, look, if you voted for Buttigieg or Klobuchar or Bennett or whatever, right? If you turned
because
your ballot,
they can't take your ballot out, check if they're telling the truth and all that.
And so then the Democrats are like, oh, well, we need to change that so we can make sure when
Stan
we rig
Garnett
the election.
Kind of, well, we ought to change
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah, so when we rig an election, this is kind of messing it up. But this is why I think it's such a bad idea. And keep in mind, like you keep saying, you know, the more the Democrats fiddle with the rules to benefit them, at least in this case, could come back to bite him a little bit because I don't see. Let me ask you this. I mean, because you raise a really good question in terms of I can't imagine that maybe there are bylaws in the Democrat Party. I'm going to back up. Keep in mind, it's the Democrat Party that chooses the candidate, right? Not the people. They just let the Democrats think that they're voting for it. They're not really. It's the party that chooses. So the party could come in, like you said, and say, oh, no. It's 15% of the three counties. I mean, they could do any kind of weird math algorithm thing they want to do, right?
Yeah, well,
it'd be like a word puzzle. If Elizabeth Warren had three apples and Joe Biden had two apples.
Well, you'd think they would cover it, quite frankly. But you know, you'd think they could get the votes in from Iowa at least a month later. I mean, you know, you'd think, but being thinking is not. And it'll make a huge difference in some of these ones about whether you get 14%, which you're shut out. Oh, you have 15% where you can share on the statewide total.
Right.
And with two candidates dropping out really at the last moment, I mean, it's going to be an important
one. And your thoughts, why? I mean, that is an interesting question, is why typically people wait, because wouldn't you be bummed if, like, bizarrely all the polls were wrong and you, like, win, right? You're Amy Klobuchar, like, I take it back. Why do you think, I mean, were there people threatening, you know, twisting their arms in back rooms or holding children and loved ones hostage to say drop out? What do you think is going on?
Carrots.
They're giving carrots.
I mean, they were kind of going.
So what do you mean by that?
Well, gosh, you know, if you're Biden and you got Amy Klobuchar, I said, I'd love to have you as HHS secretary and so forth, and I'd appreciate your support now and ongoing, particularly now when it's so important, that's what you do. You wouldn't go, get out, you bitch, get out of there. You'd just go, okay, how can I help you, you know?
So you think that's why they dropped out?
I don't know, but maybe both. Maybe both Bloomberg and Biden would come, you're great and you're such a star. We wouldn't want to see tarnished by the Super Tuesday flood. I'm sure there are lots of discussions going on.
Carrots, putting it mildly. Trinkets, baubles.
They're not going to threaten them. They're not going to, you know.
I would get out for jewelry.
Yeah,
well, I would get out for jewelry. Yeah. I mean, or maybe a car.
Bloomberg would probably do that. He'd get to some.
Here's another point. You know, I want to let folks know, coming up in about 5 minutes, we're going to switch gears a little bit, talk with Tim Priebe, Second Amendment attorney, about this atrocious red flag abuse. And also, you can call in 888-627-6008.
Since we got a couple minutes, I did want to talk about the Israeli election today.
Well, wait, let me just do this because we only have a couple. Because Anil Mathai also, our friend Anil Mathai, wanted to remind people, yes, we have the primary, but Saturday is the caucus.
Yes,
and that's the day you can go. That's the day to get grassroots involvement. And you know what? There are a lot more races going on in Colorado that actually matter significantly. Everything from school board, like you said, a dog catcher. And those are the kind of things that get decided at caucus. Chuck wanted to talk about Israel.
Well, it's a big upset. I mean, everybody thought the last two, we're having three elections in 11 months. And so you thought everybody get tired, there'd be a lower turnout. There's not. They have just as big a turnout. Everybody thought.
But tell them what's the election for, just in case people haven't been
following. Well, you know, they have a parliamentary system. So whoever gets the most seats, and Israel is very fractured, so you have to put together coalitions. They have not been able to put coalitions together. One, because the Arab vote. They will not allow Arab groups to be in any coalition, which is sort of very anti-democratic. But they can't get in the joint list, which is their one. They will, in fact, have the third largest party in the Knesset, which is the name of the parliament. And so they're the third largest. And then the fourth largest, maybe farther, is Lieberman. And Lieberman used to be right. He's a right wing, but he said they can't work with a crook like Bibi Netanyahu. And last time when Gantz, the head of the blue and white coalition, which is more centrist, they can't work with either of those. And so when you have two, you know, taking up that many votes, it's very hard to get everybody else into a majority of 61, because they're 120 seats. But they're apparently the Likud party is just one seat short, at least as of 30 minutes ago, one seat short of being able to put together a coalition, which would be amazing because everybody thought Bibi was done. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. And all the results are coming in from exit polling, which can be pretty unreliable because they still use paper ballots. So it takes a while.
All right. Well, Chuck, as you know, keeping an eye on all things Europe. And every time I'm like, Chuck, no one wants to talk about that. The phones light up. So we can talk about that. But now that we have with us, joining us is Tim Priebe. He's a Second Amendment lawyer, was on Peter Boyle's show, basically launched a whole firestorm of stories in the Denver media over the weekend. So, hey, Tim, thank you for your time. Appreciate you coming on the Chuck and Julie show.
Absolutely, guys. How are you doing?
We're good.
Thank you.
You know, I'll let you kind of explain this just in general. So what happened is an inmate, a Weld County jail inmate, filed an extreme risk protection order against Sheriff Reams, apparently saying they lived together.
They probably do.
and that they were threatening them with shotguns. Why don't you explain what happened and then what's so alarming about that?
Yeah, and maybe if I could, just a little bit of background. Kind of set up what's going on. So I work with U.S. Law Shield, and I go around and I teach citizens about gun laws. And probably about, I think it was in April, May of last year, Dick Abrams from Centennial Gun Club started hosting Red Flag Law seminars.
Right.
And the first month that I went there, I literally just had the law in my just a manila folder, and we kind of talked about it for 2 hours, and each month that went by, my folder grew and grew and grew. As I was reading and rereading and facing 70 people a month, you know, asking me these questions, I don't want to appear not to know what I'm talking about. And so I would read more, and I would read more, and I would read more. And so now it's at a point where my wife does not want to hear the word red flag, because I'm constantly saying, did you know? And she's just, yeah.
You're in George Brock's
line. If we get red flagged, you're my attorney, you know, just leave me alone.
Okay.
So as part of that, the law allows for attorneys to be appointed by the court. And so I have applied and have received permission from El Paso and Teller County to be one of those attorneys that could be appointed a case.
Okay.
From that, I've been keeping up on the red flag laws. And as of Friday, there have been 18 here in Colorado that have been filed.
Whoa. Well, let me back up a second. If you were to read the media, you would think there had been like three, right?
Exactly.
But you're saying there have been 18. Okay.
Yeah, there have been 18 so far. I haven't checked it today, but there's been 18 as of Friday, so I'm kind of catching up on the ones that I didn't know about, and I look, and lo and behold, it's Sheriff Steve Reams. And so that was interesting. I think it was Thursday night. And so I shot Peter Boyle's a text, and he's like, you're all gotta come on, you know, the show.
Well, that's a good Peter Boyle's imitation.
he's been at a number of the Centennial Gun Club red flags, so I got his voice down pretty good. And of course, the first time I was on, it was like 5:10 in the morning, so I definitely appreciate your hours better than his.
There you go.
Yeah, having substituted for him a few times, that 5 o'clock hour is rough.
Exactly. So lo and behold, I print up the petition and the order. And sure enough, a gentleman who I'm not going to name, because I don't want to give him any more publicity than he's already received. But per his own petition, he is what Steve Reams later said, a frequent flyer in Weld County and somewhat of a jailhouse attorney. And so he got cute and decided to file this ERPO on Steve Reams. And if you know the law, one of the first questions is who can petition a red flag. And so I'm looking at the form that he filed, handwritten, where he checked, I regularly reside or have resided with the respondent within the last 6 months.
Technically true, but in jail.
Yes. I don't think he's in Mr. Reams' home.
No.
But he said, I don't think Sheriff Reams is there in the jail every night. But anyways, so that's what he filed. And what he ended up going on to say was it wasn't just Sheriff Reams. It was what he calls the Weld County Jail SOG, S-O-G team, which I don't know if that's Sheriff Operation something. I'm sure.
What's the acronym?
S-O-G.
S-O-G. So,
I know what Z-O-G means, but I've never heard of S-O-G.
Well,
go ahead.
Let me jump in here and ask you this, Tim, because in this case, the judge obviously recognized Sheriff Reams, threw it out. But let me ask you this. This is what alarms me about this red flag law. All of the unintended consequences.
They're intended.
Well, you're right. Yeah, the gun grabbing consequences. Let's just say that I'm a judge in Weld County and I don't like Sheriff Reams, right? I don't have to throw this out. I mean, is there anything that prevents the judge or that forces the judge to have to throw this ERPO thing out? Or could the judge have said, I don't know, I think I want to hear about this?
See, and that's the thing is that the law does not require the judge to make a determination initially. I mean, very easily a judge could have said, look, you file the petition, you have a right to show up in court. And then we have a hearing, you know, it's an ex parte, one side hearing, and the judge could toss it at that point. Now, I will tell you, of the 18 cases, there have been a number of them, not a number, but I think it's three or four, that the petition was filed and the hearing was held and the judge dismissed the case at that point.
Okay.
But again, here's the problem. So this is a public record. So your name is out there with some, you know, horrendous things being said about you. And some of the ones that I have read and reviewed, and they're talking about domestic abuse, they're talking about drug abuse, they're talking about, you know, abusing their children, they're talking about drug use, really personal stuff that's out there that if it gets dismissed, you have no idea it's laying in wait for someone to, you know, to pay the money and look it up. And all of a sudden you're stuck with the fact that this is out there and you've had no ability to defend yourself.
Well, or even that, like with Sheriff Reams, right? I'm sure Sheriff Reams had to go, and all of those other people, the 18 people, even the ones that were dismissed, they probably had to get a lawyer. They had to go to court. I mean, they had
they don't know about it.
Or they don't even know. I mean, yeah.
No, they don't have to be notified.
Know.
Yeah.
No, so it's extraordinary. Denied,
and, you know, three or four have been dismissed. But, you know, the people are looking at the language of it. There's another woman who filed one saying we had a child in common because a cop killed her child.
Right.
But it's a very loosey-goosey law and intended to be loosey-goosey. And so those high publicity ones are going to dismiss. But you don't know that how much the judge.
But one could be filed against you.
Sure.
Right.
And they could say, I used to live with them. And they kind of, okay. You know, what does that mean? You used to live with them. Well, you know. And so it's intended to be an interim law. And it is an interim. I mean, they want to terrify everybody. And in time, they will.
Yeah.
In time, they will.
Well, and one of the things that Peter keeps mentioning has actually come true, and that is people calling from outside of the city or state of Colorado. There was one that's in the works right now, where an ex-girlfriend called 911 in New York to say that this ex-boyfriend she thought was suicidal and was going to kill himself. And that 911 then connected her with Denver 911. And which then, what's interesting right now is in the city and county of Denver, they have one particular detective that's assigned to these cases. And so he's going out and he's filed probably, I think, five or six of these so far. Denver city and county. Well, he tracks down this guy and convinces him to allow him to search his place. Oh. And the guy says to him in the petition, this is, you know, the officer's writing this in the petition, that the guy says, I'm willing to give up all my guns except for the one I need for work. And by the way, is this going to harm me at work? And the detective tells him, no, it's not going to harm him at work. Well, there's allegations that this guy has PTSD. So he ends up voluntarily going to a mental health facility.
On a 72-hour hold or something else?
No, just a voluntary.
Voluntary.
And I don't remember the name of it. I don't have the file right in front of me. But it was up in Denver. Was there for a couple hours. The doctor looked at him and told him he was fine to go back to work with the firearm. He was not suicidal.
Okay.
Well, guess what? The mechanism's already has started. So he's already been red flagged. And
yes.
He just got a new job as a security guard that he needed the firearm for. So it's only a matter of time that, you know, his boss is going to find out about this.
Right.
You're a liability.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, and here's the thing, too, that in all of that, there was nothing actually that required him to get mental health treatment, right? So theoretically, he was suicidal. All the detective does is show up and say, give me your guns, right? It's a guy voluntarily goes to get treatment, but the guy could have said to the detective, hey, I'm really suicidal. I feel really bad here. I think I'm out of control. And the detective would be like, all right, good luck with that. Thanks for the guns. I mean, right? There's nothing in it that actually addresses what the Democrats say was the main issue.
Correct. And, you know, to the detective's credit, he did say, are you willing to go do this? Well, the guy gets checked out, and then he meets up again with the detective and tells the detective, look, this was filed by an ex-girlfriend who wants me to get more serious with her, and I'm not willing to. I was not suicidal. I had plenty of opportunities to kill myself if I wanted to. I'm not that person. And
right.
Yet the red flag, of course, has gone through, and now they're in the midst of having to deal with that. I haven't followed yet to see, I don't know if the hearing is coming up or when the hearing is, but it's just the fact that this detective is telling people, hey, don't worry about it. This isn't going to affect your job.
Well, of course, there's that. And here's the other thing. I remember when we were initially doing all the stories about the red flag law, they were like, well, you know, they were like in one state that has it, there have been like 15 in a year, right? They were implying that it'd be hardly ever used. So you're saying we've had this, it's been in effect only 2 months for folks who aren't familiar with it. Only 2 months and there's already been 18 filed?
Correct. Okay. And what's happened is when the red flags initially started, they started in Connecticut. And what is still the case today is that either two law enforcement officers or a DA, a district attorney, has to file the petition. They're the only people that can file it. And there were really, really low numbers in Connecticut because the Connecticut chiefs of police were saying, look, we can't afford to give up two guys to go do this. They're already overworked as is. And so what's happened is you can see we're now at a race to the bottom to say how many people can we name to be petitioners. Right. And New York and California, of course, have had to beat us. We were the most liberal at one point, and that's not good. New York has opened it up to teachers and coworkers.
Right.
So is California. So we're throwing more and more people into this amateur psychiatrist role to be able to say, look, start the ball rolling. It's okay.
Right.
Versus, why not have an independent investigation by cops or the DA?
And let me back you up.
Because they wouldn't have the same result.
Right, because they wouldn't be able to grab your gun.
Right.
Let me back you up. In the case you talked about, so you got a guy who's got an ex-girlfriend who is literally just harassing him, calls us up, the detective shows up at his door, and he says, yeah, I have the guns, I want you, blah, blah, blah. What if he had said to the detective, what would happen if he said to the detective, I'm not opening my door, I'm not letting you in, or no, I'm not giving my guns? What would have happened?
And that's a great question, and for all of 2019, that would be a question that would come up at these seminars.
And
the best thing I could tell him was, look, I don't know, because I don't know. We had Republican representatives there that said, look, we had that same concern, and so we tried to put a rider on the bill to say, you cannot do no-knock warrants. They took it to the Democrats, and the Democrats said, no, we're not going to take away any tools from law enforcement. And, of course, their response is, when is the first time you've ever cared about law enforcement or giving them another tool?
Right.
Please.
Well, let me ask you, I just wanted to follow up. Tim, just give me, we do this all the time. We're married, in case you didn't know.
I know. Yep.
Oh, somehow that makes it okay that Chuck interrupts me all the time. No, I'm kidding.
If I can get a word in edgewise, Julie's endlessly soliloquies.
I just want to ask you, though, in your opinion as a lawyer, though, in that same situation, and let's say the guy, you know, like you said, the answer was, we don't know what would happen if he refused to let him in or if he refused to hand over his guns. In your opinion, though, what's the worst case scenario in something like that?
They're just bashing through.
Yeah, the worst case is what actually has happened in Massachusetts. That's the police showed up at 5:10 in the morning, literally 5:10 in the morning, to serve one of these. And the gentleman answered the door with a firearm because it was 5:10 in the morning.
Yeah.
And the officer said, okay, we're here. And then they calmed him down. He put the gun down on the table next to him. And then they told him why they were there. We're here to take all your firearms. And he grabbed the gun because he got nervous. And a tussle ensued, and partner ended up shooting and killing this guy. And it turned out that their version of the red flag was filed by an aunt who disagreed with him politically basically saying, I'm speculating, but there were reports saying that she was not happy with what happened, obviously.
Just as she hoped.
But did they change the law? No. Okay,
no,
go ahead then.
No.
I'll interrupt you.
I forgot what I was
going to
say by now.
Right.
That doesn't mean you can keep on talking.
Okay.
We're just going to have a moment of silence.
No, we're not.
Just not to have to hear Julie talking endlessly. Well, the idea of you know, an ex saying you're suicidal. I had an ex who called in. He said thought I was suicidal because I wouldn't stay on the phone with her. I said, I got to go. Goodbye. Boom. They came and you know, they put me under a 72-hour hold, which is, you know, and I went down for about an hour, and then a psychiatrist came out and he said, well,
Are you feeling suicidal? No, none of those.
So you're crazy, but that's not your problem.
I was watching the Chicago Bulls. Could you tell me what the result of the playoff was anyway? He said, get out of here. I can't believe they bothered with this. But nonetheless, that's a huge inconvenience. And I paid to go down there. You know, there's a charge. And I had to voluntarily agree to pay it. So anybody can, you know, those tricky ones, they say, well, we both reside in the same place and all that. You can prove some, you know, malintent. But if somebody says, well, I thought she was suicidal. I mean, everybody thinks their exes are suicidal. I mean, of course, because they're not with them anymore. But that's okay, because that's what this law is intended to do.
To grab the guns.
And you're absolutely right. You know, we were number one, but now California and New York have taken. So I'm no doubt that this legislature, well, we got to be number one again. So if you even know the person and you think.
Or if they used a straw, you can do it.
It is so obscene, but you know, that's what Democrats do to humans.
Well, it's important to understand that there are two classes, if you will, of people that can file these petitions. One is if the petition itself is filed by the petitioner on their own. The other way is that they can then go talk to law enforcement, and law enforcement files it. And that's what we're seeing more and more in the city and county of Denver, is that people are calling the law enforcement, and then they're the ones that are doing this and filing these things.
And the one guy, you know, that's his job. He wants to do the best job he can, and he would hate to
He doesn't want somebody slip through the
cracks. Well, he doesn't want somebody to go out and say, I won't enforce it, and she gets killed, or he gets killed, or anything else. So they're going to lean over backwards to try to be accommodating wherever it's possible. And this law, you're going to be busy. You're going to be so busy. You're going to have to expand your office, hire some associates. I mean, this is going to be full-time job.
Well, this what it does is, and initially there was a lot of anger towards law enforcement. And what I was trying to do, because I'm prior law enforcement before law school, is I tried to tell people, look, the people to be angry with here are not law enforcement, because this is a statute and they've got to follow it because it was passed. So we got to deal with it. What it does is it puts a huge wedge between citizens and law enforcement, and we need to work together, as opposed to, you know, pointing fingers at each other and letting them, you know, control what's going on. And so, because, like you were saying, if law enforcement doesn't respond, then there's a lawsuit. If law enforcement does respond, there could be a lawsuit. And so let's just talk about so they come, and this there's one gentleman, they ended up confiscating 26 firearms. Okay, that's 26 firearms that have to go be stored in, I think that was in Denver County, in the sheriff's office, you know, the evidence locker. These ERPOs can be good for 1 year, and they can be renewed for another year. So that's potentially 2 years those 26 firearms are going to be sitting there. So what do you think is going to happen probably after this first year? The sheriff's department's going to come back and say, we need to increase our budget because now we need to have somebody, you know, we need a bigger space. We need, you know, these things are happening.
They could do like they do in New York, in which, you know, they just raffle them off. No, they don't destroy them. Everybody in the precinct gets one. Here you go. You get one. Well, you get one. You get one. Hey.
I will tell you, from the pages of the Gazette in Colorado Springs this morning, there's going to be approximately 150 cases that might be overturned because of missing evidence.
Yeah.
So, that's right. I saw that. What about Tim?
Well, the least secure places in the world is put something in an evidence locker.
Who pays for that, by the way? Do I have to pay for that if they take my guns to get them back?
Are they able to charge you, quote unquote, a reasonable amount for storage?
No.
Good.
Go ahead.
But there's some very unrealistic timelines that once the ERPO is over. I think it's within 3 business days you're supposed to have been cleared by CBI and you can go and everything's, you know, wonderful again. I can tell you, I do CBI appeals. These people do not act in 3 days. I don't care if it's calendar days. I don't care if it's business days. I don't care if it's Martian days.
Lunar days. Yeah.
Lunar months.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, let me just a couple more questions for you. Have any of the ERPO has been filed in the so-called, any of the so-called sanctuary counties or sanctuary cities, and how has that played out?
Yeah, they've been filed. what is interesting is the counties, I think Archuleta County, and there was one in Lincoln County, those were denied outright.
Okay.
And it seems like the ones that are out east have been denied, where, of course, Denver counties, I don't think that there may have been one or two dismissed. But as far as the sanctuary, that really doesn't come into play. They're still going to get filed.
Okay.
El Paso County so far has not had one down here. I don't think there's been any actually south of Denver.
Well, obviously the one in Weld County was, because Sheriff Reams was
Well, Tim, final question for you. Where could people, you've got so much information, we're going to have you back on, and thank you for keeping everybody in the loop with all of this, because we know the media isn't going to do it, the mainstream corporate media. When are you speaking next, or is there someplace you can go where people can, if they've been listening, like, holy cow, I got a question for this attorney, how do people get hold of you, or do you have any big seminars coming up?
Yeah, I would, March 18th at Centennial Gun Club from 6 to 8. I will tell you, and this is advertised on Centennial's website, we're going to have myself, Randy Corcoran, George Brockler, and Sheriff Spurlock.
Okay.
Be there. So we're going to try
you said you got two pro red flag people versus two anti-red flag people.
That would be pretty interesting.
Well, that ought to be a debate. Right.
March 18th at Centennial Gun Club?
From 6 to 8. And then if they go to gunlawseminars.com, that is U.S. Law Shield's website, and look for red flag classes.
Okay.
Or if they're just interested in just general firearms law, they could do those seminars also.
All right.
Well, that's great. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for your time.
It's been great to talk to you, and we'll want to get an update as we go farther down this rabbit hole of governmental abuse. Yeah, and gun grabbing.
And once either of you are named, I'll shoot you a quick text.
Yeah, let us know.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
Tim.
Thank you, sir.
At the door, you'll know who it is.
Thank you for your time.
Take care.
Afternoon. Thanks, you too. That's pretty astonishing. I mean, when they were passing this, they said, only 15 in other states.
They don't care.
I mean, so what? That's like one every other day, basically, is being filed.
Care.
Right.
I mean,
no, and again, the inmate shows us. What if he had filed it against somebody who wasn't a recognizable name? I mean, there's just so much bad out there. 303. We got a few. Oh, we got 10 minutes left. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. We can talk a little bit. Super Tuesday tomorrow. I imagine in Colorado, at least, the results are going to come in fast. I don't know how they're going to come in around the country. What's your thought on what's going to happen tomorrow? And what does that, if anything, mean?
The results will not come in very fast in key places like California.
Because they're going to have to rig it. No, I'm kidding. Well, not really.
You know, there are hundreds of different districts, and it's a very complicated Byzantine sort of thing. I mean, you may, I don't know if they're going to have kind of who won the statewide, but the delegate count will take a couple of days at least. I don't know about Texas, how much they've jerry-rigged theirs. I'm not sure if any of the states that could look it up are caucuses, which will be... I love caucuses, but for these primaries,
well,
and
the
way
got
they've
the,
run
the
them,
attention, yeah.
Well, because of the way the Democrats have been running them.
I mean, right.
Caucuses in Colorado, the lodestone for conservative activists. But it'll be a mixed bag, as everything is. I think there are 13 states and one territory. And they'll dribble and drag.
You think
in
a clear winner is going to come out, or is it going to be continue to be a muddied mess?
Well, it depends what you mean by that. The clear winner, the winner of the most delegates, will be Bernie Sanders. He almost has to be the one.
Right.
How many of the he is? I mean, right now he's a handful ahead of Biden. Will he be 150 ahead of him? Which in case means it's Katie bar the door. It'll be an entire all the
That's
way to the convention.
Well,
is it 400? Well, in 400, if he does well in the subsequent states, he could get pretty close to, anyway, a majority.
Here's what my read on this, and we talked about this. Chuck has educated me a lot on politics, and this morning I said, I'm almost as smart as you are anymore at
this
stuff.
Wait a minute. I had to walk you through it.
Well, no, you asked me, and I gave you my opinion. So what I find is very interesting, a couple of things. So bear with me on this explanation. So Denver Mayor Michael Hancock, who is African-American, came out today and endorsed Joe Biden. I find that very interesting because Michael Hancock, this is just my theory, is a creature of the Brownstein law firm, right? And that's a whole other show. We won't go into it. So just take my word on that. Brownstein, massive, powerful lobby group headquartered in Denver. Mayor Hancock is
got him off the prostitution.
Is their creature. So a few weeks ago, Doug Friednash, who is a friend of ours, he's a great attorney. He's worked with Hickenlooper, worked with Hancock.
And is in the Brownstein
law firm. In a Brownstein law firm. He came out and supported Bloomberg.
Right.
Right? I read the fact that Michael Hancock / Brownstein creature now supports Biden right. means that the establishment Democrats, which the Brownsteins are part of, have now shifted their alliance over to Biden. At first, he was too shaky, but I think Bloomberg scared them enough. That they're like, and I know a lot of establishment Dems are still behind Bloomberg, but I see that kind of shifting. And I don't know if they're like pumping him full of like oxygen cells and doing hyperbaric chambers with Joe before debates, giving him Red Bull, something like that. I mean, I think they're doing everything
they
can. Well,
if it's a Brownstein, they're going to hedge their bets. They're going to go, half of us will go over for
that could be.
Bloomberg. Half of us will go over for
And there some of us a third.
Webb, you get the $50,000 payment, and because Hancock couldn't accept that, and Hancock, you go for Biden and Justin Peace. So they're just playing both sides against them. But I do think there's a big shock in the establishment corporate side of the Democratic Party that watched Elizabeth Warren viscerate. I mean, just dissect on the floor. Poor Minnie Mike. I mean, it's just so sad. And they looked at that and look at the polls. It's hard to figure a state among the 14 in the territory that Bloomberg could take. And in a lot of the cases, he won't come in the top two or three. So they're looking at that and kind of go, well, look, we've got to, you know, what we got to do is convince Minnie Mike to give Biden the money, and then we're all happy and everybody. And
then we'll let Jill Biden actually run the show.
Yeah, we'll let Jill. She's the only one with a brain over there. So I think they're all just kind of forking around and you know, after Tuesday, Bloomberg may be dead. I mean, he may be dead, or maybe he'll make a big comeback.
He's still trying to buy out the superdelegates.
I know, but even if you go to the convention with two people, you know, I'm a Bloomberg supporter.
But here he goes, here's $50 or something.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it back around, though, to how we started the show. And I think in a lot of ways, though, the Colorado numbers, the number of Republicans who are voting as we did to go in the primary for Donald Trump, where it didn't even matter. It's huge. And I think that says,
yeah, they're willing to put, I don't know how much the stamp costs these days.
Well, or to go drop it off. What I mean is
well, then you still got to pay the gas and everything else. So
right.
I think it's highly encouraging, but remember, this is without ballot harvesting. There is a ballot harvest election. And no, the Republicans just can't seem to get this down. And there's non-ballot harvesting.
And this is what
you're
going to
see. For the primary, a non-ballot harvesting one, in which the Republicans
will be
pretty
close. Which is just how the voters would do when left on their own.
Yeah, if it was illegal to ballot harvest. And then we'll get in September the other one.
All right. I see Ben and Nicholas has joined us. Hey, Ben, thank you for calling in. What do you think about all of this?
Well, I think that there's a lot going on here, but I have two questions. I know you're running out of time here. Yeah. Since Amy's dropped out, does this mean that I think it's Barney is that wedding off or something?
Well, she's dropping out in order to make herself more available.
That's right, our listener Barney. Ah. That's right. Talk to him on Wednesday.
Yeah, I just I like to follow him. He's such a good guy.
Oh yeah,
he is.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun to listen to. The other thing is that we do have the caucus coming up, so
I got you here.
Yeah.
Is tomorrow the Arapahoe County? Adams County get together?
No. The caucus that we do is next Saturday.
No. I mean the monthly one. The monthly one. The Adams County Republican.
Oh, it's the first Thursday.
Yes.
Which is Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. But then finish your thought on the caucus.
This is Monday, so it's a couple of days off yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just wanted to talk briefly about encouraging people to go to their caucus because this is the point that you have an opportunity to share your thoughts as to where the party should go. So I've got my three standard resolutions. And these are important to bring to your caucuses because it will help, spar a little bit of debate going on as well as maybe some directions that you want to see your party take.
All right.
It's important.
Perfect, Ben. That's all we needed. You took us right to the end. So thank you for
thank
calling
you,
in.
Thank
You're
you
welcome.
For calling in. Yep. That will do it for us today.
We'll be gone.
We'll be back on Wednesday
with all the election results, all the analysis. We hope to have the sort of Soros with us.
And can't wait to talk to you then.
And want to let you know, this was sponsored by the ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Yes. ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. We check it out every day. Recommend you do too.
You should.
All right. Then thanks to the guys at BBS. We'll see you Wednesday.